Okay, welcome everybody back for, it's probably going to be the last week of this man. So let's just recap for a moment the different categories of Yehar Vayava before we're able to begin to understand the context of today's shiur. So the Gemara told us that there are really three different scenarios that play out that would require Yehar Vayava. One is the Gibla Averus, the objectively of a Dezargil Raya Shvichas Domim. The other was the situation of Chil Hashem in the sense of Parhesia. If a goy is coming to try to make bizyonis, make light of Torah mitzvahs, and requiring him to be Mechel Shabbos, not because he's hungry, but because he wants to stop making litzonis out of Chil Shabbos, so then the Gemara draws a distinction. If it's for Parhesia, then you have to be Moise Nefesh, Yehoreva Yavon, if not, not. And the third category was the category of Shas Hashmad. So when it came to Shas Hashmad, we had a machlekes as to whether there are certain limitations to Shas Hashmad. Whether Shas Hashmad applies even if the goyim are against all religion, not just Judaism. Does Shas Hashmad apply if it's ultimately lanos atzmam as well? So we saw machlekes and we showed about this. So I think we just left off at the end. I think we ran out of time on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. That we pointed out that even though there were some rishonim who seemed to minimize Shas Hashmad and say Shas Hashmad is basically just a function of the second din. There is no new category of Shas Hashmad. It's just part of the regular din of Farhesia. It's just as the Ran explained that Shas Hashmad word tends to get out. Because the Goyim are trying to make litzanus about Torah mitzvah, so don't think you're going to do it Pitzina and no one's going to find out about it. The Goyim are going to spread the word and Jews are going to find out about it. And to be called Farhesia, it doesn't have to be just 10 Jews watching. If 10 Jews know about it, that's also called Farhesia. So we said that if that's the case, that Shas Hashmad is just an extension of the regular dinim of Farhesia, so then I understand why it makes sense that if the goyim are doing Hanas Atzman, that's not a problem. Because Hanas Atzman is never called the Chil Hashem, because by definition that's not Chil Hashem. Or then I understand why if it's not an anti-Jewish gezeira, it's just a general, they're just out to get all practices, all religious practices they're against. But it's not against Torah mitzvahs per se, so then one can argue. It's also not really an issue of Chil Hashem per se. But the Rambam doesn't seem to buy into any of that, because the Rambam quotes the Maisa of Daniel. The Rambam says that what appears in Sefer Daniel, that Daniel was Maisa Nefesh because he wanted to daven three times a day. So there, the Gezeirah, first of all, wasn't even against Jews. It was a Gezeirah against everybody, everyone in the kingdom was not allowed to pray. And number two was Lanos Atzman. It's not that the king didn't want people praying for religious reasons. The king wanted to covet, and everyone's going to come and ask him. He didn't want to share his power, so to speak, with anybody else. So that's the case. Why was Daniel considered to be a situation of a Shas Hashmad altogether? And again, according to the Rambam, it cannot be that Daniel was a voluntary Yehar Vayava. That's a non-starter, because the Pashas, the Rambam, doesn't accept the idea of a voluntary non-starter, at least according to many. So what's pshat? How could the Rambam understand that there's a din of Shas Hashmad that is significantly more chomer than the regular din of Farhesia? Yeah? So it's clear that the Rambam understood Shas Hashmad is a new category, the third category. What is that third category of Shas Hashmad? So the Rambam seems to say that this is a category what's called Bittul HaMitzvah. The Rambam has a lashon when the goyim are coming levatalas HaMitzvah. There's a difference between not doing a mitzvah once in a while, the difference between doing a aveir once in a while, and a mitzvah becoming non-existent. There's a very, very big difference, and the halacha addresses this. That if you have a one-time thing, a goy is coming and says, listen, he puts a gun to your head and says, be Mechal Shabbos, so that's called for Hesia. So if it's for Hesia, you have to be Mesei Nefesh, with sitting off to be Mesei Nefesh, if it's a Nosatz, but even for Hesia, you have to be Mesei Nefesh, that's one sugya. But when the government is coming to decree that there are Gezeiras Shmad against Klal Yisrael, so Gezeiras Shmad is a different ballgame. The goal of the government is not just to get you to be Mechal Shabbos once or twice, is that the idea is they want to be Mevatel Shabbos. Shabbos shouldn't exist anymore. That's the goal. That's a whole different ballgame. That's called Bittul HaMitzvah. Bittul HaMitzvah is a different parish of the Gemara. Bittul HaMitzvah is all bets are off. Bittul HaMitzvah is that you heard by Yav under all circumstances. What kind of halach is that? Why is Bittul HaMitzvah considered to be such a unique category? So it could be this is also a little bit of a throwback to the idea of something that we spoke about Amigda Milsa. This is almost like a superimposed in the halacha, Amigda Milsa. When there's a question of a mitzvah disappearing, so then that's a different ballgame. The rules are totally different. That's an emergency measure. You can't invoke the regular rules of halacha. The regular rules of halacha, the chaybam, the regular rules of halacha are if it's farhesia, if it's betzina, chil shach, chil befarhesia, chil betzina. Those are regular rules. But once it enters into the realm of that a mitzvah is going to disappear off the face of the earth, so a person has to be meisei nefesh, the gamre, that the mitzvah of Shabbos Baruch should never become batal. That for part of the Torah Kadosh to become batal, that's not for discussion. That's Mamash Harba Yavod also says that. Yeah. Osh, yeah. Yeah. So is there a question or...
No, sir.
Sorry, okay, no problem. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So why would that extend to all mitzvahs? Shouldn't there only be a din of Yahya Goyam in all circumstances only with that one particular mitzvah? Meaning if the Rambam is coming and specifying that they're trying to be Mevatel one, let's say they said no more Shabbos, so why would you have to give up your life to eat a cheeseburger?
No, in Nachalami, if the Gezeirah is only against Shabbos, the Lechara only against Shabbos, that would be a... I think it's only on the mitzvah of the Gezeirah itself.
So when the Gemara says kol mitzvahs, it's only that particular mitzvah that has a Gezeirah.
Usually the Gezeirahs were on everything. Very often the Gezeirahs were against everything. I think so. Anyway, so Chobam, that was just a throwback from last week's, the Shiran from last week's sugya. Now it sets the stage for today's sugya, where when the Gemara is addressing a fascinating halachic / historical question about the mice of Esther. How in the world did Esther go ahead and live all those years with Achashverosh, clearly violating Yisurim by being married to Achashverosh? What right did she have to do so? So the answer is, what do you mean, what right did you have to do? Her life is in danger. Well, wait a second, not so simple. Based on some of the rules that we said, she presumably was in a situation where she would have been required to be Yehar Yavor. So when the Gemara poses this question, wasn't Esther Yehar Yavor? Wasn't she supposed to give up her life? So the Gemara poses the question in a very strange way. The Gemara says, V'ha... Esther for Hesya Havya wasn't Esther before Hesya. So whatever avayos that she was doing were known to everybody. Now wait a second. First of all, nobody mamish saw the ma'aseh avayos between Achashverosh and Esther. But it's clear from the Gemara's kasha, it doesn't matter. Nobody has to mamish see it. As long as people know about it, that's yediyah b'lariyah. We find that concept in other areas of halacha. Yediyah b'lariyah. That's the famous shuvah of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes that even though the Mishnah says in Maseches Avodah Zarah in the second parak that you're not allowed to drink milk unless there was Yisroel Re'eu. If a guy brings you a cup of milk, you're not allowed to drink it because you have to be concerned lest he mixed in some treif milk. You have to have Yisroel Re'eu. So Moshe writes, it doesn't mean you literally have to have a Jew standing there with his two eyes watching the milk coming out of the udder of the animal. If the Jew knows that the milk came out of the udder of the animal, it's also good enough. That's called Edus Yediyah B'lei Re'iyah. So Ramesh says, how will you ever know it? Well, her seeing is believing. How would I ever know it? So Ramesh says, well, if you have a system that's set up that it's obvious to anybody that there's no way in a million years anyone's going to tamper with the milk supply, because if you do so, you're going to get fined and the government's going to shut down your dairy farm. You're going to get on the news. You're going to have to go to jail. All kind of terrible things are going to happen for adding pig's milk to the cow's milk. So it's an Edus Yediyah B'lei'iyah that we know for certain that there's no milk, there's no treif of milk that's mixed in. So Ramesh writes that everybody is mach ben achovis. So people sometimes use a misnomer. I ask people, are you mach ben achovis roll? What does that mean? You mach? Of course everyone's mach ben achovis roll. If you're not mach ben achovis roll, you're drinking treif. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to drink goyish milk. The only thing is that we have redefined what chovis roll means. Chovis roll doesn't mean cholav ayde re'iyas Yisrael. Cholav means ayde yediyas Yisrael. So when I go to the store and I buy a container of ShopRite milk, that is cholav Yisrael. Because Jews know that milk has been milked from a kosher animal. So it's not that, only the Chassidim are machmir of Chav Yisrael. You're not, it's a joke. Everyone's machmir of Chav Yisrael. It's just we have different definitions of what Chav Yisrael means. Some use the old style, traditional definition of Yerias Yisrael. You have to have a Jew mamish watching the milking. And others use the Ramesh's version of Edis Yediyah B'lariyah. So too over here, when it comes to what's called Befarhesia, so it's clear for the Gemara that it doesn't have to be Re'iyah mamish. Even Yediyah is sufficient. So the Gemara asks, Abazoi, everybody knew that Esther was living with Achashverosh. A lot of people knew that she was Jewish. Achashverosh was out of the loop. He didn't know that she was Jewish, but a lot of the Jews knew she was Jewish. So anyone who knew her from before, from the old days, they knew, they remembered that she was Jewish. So they knew she's now the queen. She's living with the king. So that's a violation of Aveir b'Frahesia. So by Esther Frahesia, shouldn't she have been required to be Maisei Nefesh? So the Gemara gives a few answers. One answer the Gemara says is Esther Kaka Oilam. We spoke a little bit about that. The other answer the Gemara says is Lanos Atzvan Shiny. We spoke a little bit about that. But what we're going to focus on now, what the Rishonim are much, much more bothered with is not so much what the Gemara's question was, but what the Gemara's question was not. It is clear from the Gemara that the Gemara only formed this question, only formulated this question, because it was Befrahesia. Vaistoi said if it would have been Betzina, everything would have been good, everything would have been hunky-dory. The Gemara never would have chepped Esther Amalka, never would have been bothered with the Kasha. Ah, she's doing it Aveira, it would have been Betzina, what's the big deal? So Frek, the Rishonim, what do you mean? Zachgilirayis. She's living with a non-Jew. To make matters even worse, the Gemara Megillah says that, but lo levas, atikol levas alabayis, that she was actually married to Mordechai, and Mordechai never divorced her. Tosfos says Akash and Megillah, why didn't Mordechai divorce her? Why did he let this go on? He should have simply given her a get and minimized the issue of Eishes Ish. So Tosfos says he was very, very nervous to give her a get, because a get tends to be a public thing. And he was afraid word was going to get out. He was afraid people were going to start murmuring in Shushan. Oh, now the queen, she used to be Mordechai's wife. Mordechai, so everyone's going to get killed. So he was nervous to give her a get, because less the word gets out. But the bottom line is, the Gemara Megillah says she was an Eishes Ish. So there was a very, very serious problem here. First of all, even without her being an Eishes Ish, may have been a serious problem. She's living with a goy. That's also not so simple. And that may also smack up Gidei Raya, possibly. We'll talk about that hopefully as the sugya develops. But number two, it's even worse. She was mamash neshes ish. So frekt all the rishonim, all the rishonim is this kasha. Tois is the kasha. Balmor is the kasha. The rabban is the kasha. The ran is every rishon under the sun is bothered with this kasha. Why does the Gemara minimize the question by asking for Esther for Hesyahavi? The Gemara should have maximized the question by saying by Esther Gidirayasavi. That would have been a much more serious question. So what's the answer to this question? So this is the throwback to what we spoke about last week. The Rivam was so, Tosfos quotes from the Rivam, was so bothered with this kasha that the Rivam says, no, the reason why the Gemara never bothered to ask the question because the Gemara knew from day one that this was Shevel Tasa. This was Karka Olam. The Gemara knew that a woman is always passive in Gilei Arayos, and therefore there's never a Dinyan Hagba Yava from the woman's vantage point. We already spoke about this Berichas last week. That was Tosfos' famous raya from the throwing the person onto the baby, that there's no Dinyan of Hagba Yava on Shevi Al Tasa, neither by Gidei Rayas nor by Shvichas Damim, and therefore the Gemara didn't even ask the Kash. It would have been a silly Kash. The Gemara would have known the answer right away that it's Shevi Al Tasa. So what was the Gemara's Kash? The Gemara thought that vis-a-vis the dinner for Hesya, there's no cool of a Shevi Al Tasa. To which the Gemara answered, no talk, even that there is. Esther Kaka Olam, and when Abai answers Esther Kaka Olam, the Gemara says, even though you thought all along that Kaka Olam only worked vis-a-vis Gidei Arayas, didn't work vis-a-vis Farhesia, so Kamash Malon, it works even vis-a-vis Farhesia. But vis-a-vis Gidei Arayas, that was a no-brainer. The Gemara realized that from day one. So according to the Rivam, everything's hunky-dory. It really was Gidei Arayas. It was full-fledged, outright, clear, flagrant violation of Gidei Arayas. But since it just happened to technically be in Derech Shevel Tasa, therefore there was nothing to worry about. So we could breathe a sigh of relief. So that's the view of the Rivam that Tosfos quotes. But again, we know that other Rishonim are going to have to find other answers, because we know that their Rishonim don't even buy into the Rivam. We know the Rambam doesn't buy into the Rambam. Reb Chaim from last week, we know that other Rishonim don't buy into the Rivam. So there have to be other answers to this question. So one of the most famous answers to this question is presented by Tosfos here in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos presents this both here as well as the beginning of Maseches Ksubos. Yesoid is to get answer from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that in Ochinami, Esther was an Eishes Ish. She was married to Mordechai. And theoretically, it would have been an Issa, the Arais of Gilei Arais of Eishes Ish. And it would have been neat until Yarba Yavor and doesn't buy into any stories. And no, don't tell me any stories about Shevel Tasa. If it's Gilei Arayos, it's Gilei Arayos. It's a gavaldika problem. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, you know why the Gemara wasn't bothered? It was because Achashverosh wasn't Jewish. And since he wasn't Jewish, the Maisa Bia that he was going to have with Esther was not a violation of Losinuf. That's not a problem. You know why? Because Rabbeinu Tam coins a new phrase, Bias Akom Lav Shmo Bia. That the Maisa Bia that the Goy does is not halachically called a Maisabiya. In order to be a violation of Eishes Ish, it has to be a Maisabiya, and there's Nishkin Maisabiya, because Biyasakam Lav Shmabiya. That's the answer. So Lu Yitzuya Zokter Benetam Lu Yitzuya Cheshver would have been Jewish, and he would have been threatening Esther's life. That would have been a much more serious problem. But Baruch Hashem, he wasn't Jewish. Since he wasn't Jewish, we can hide behind Biasach Amal Shemabi, and therefore it's not Gidei Arayas, and therefore Shalom Yisrael. For Hesh, it still is. It's still not a nice thing to do. It's still an Avera. For Hesh, it still is. So that the Gemara dealt with. For Hesh, a big deal. That we could solve the problem easily. But the much more serious issue of Gidei Arayas was not a problem because of Biasach Amal Shemabi. How in the world, Rabbi Natan, though we didn't get Ruch HaKadosh to know such as Adin, Bias Akam Lo Shrabiya, there's no Gemara anywhere in Shas that says this. Bias Akam Lo Shrabiya, where in the world, Rabbi Natan, get this from? So he dug it up from a Gemara in Maseches Yevam, Staf Tzadiches, and Mebeis. He put two and two together. So the Gemara in Yevam, Staf Tzadiches, I don't know if anyone looked it up, it was the Gemara that Rabbi Natan referenced. The Gemara is discussing the following Shaila. The Gemara is talking about if you have a woman, who a non Jewish woman who is pregnant, and she wants to convert. If you remember way, way back, back in the first week, back in Or HaTorah days, when we were still in the pre-Bnei Shurin days, so we spoke about this, about Muberish and his guy, with the Taisus back at Tav Samaches. So the Gemara says in Yevamis that if you have a non-Jewish woman who wants to convert, no problem, she goes to the mikvah, and the ger says chal. The ger says chal for her, the ger says chal for the kids, everything's hunky-dory, givaldic. So now, Baruch Hashem, a few months later, she gives birth to twin boys. So now we have a very, very long dish question. Are these twin boys brothers or not? Are they halach? I mean, DNA-wise, we know. Genetically, we know they're brothers. I want to know, she gave birth to twin boys. Are these brothers, halach, are these halachli brothers, are they related to each other or not? So the Gemara has a very, very strange din in Yevam Asaf Tzadiches. The Gemara says, it depends what you mean by brothers. If you're asking, are they brothers min ha'aim? So the answer is yes. They are related to one another through the mother. They do have the status of kurva mitzat ha'aim. If you want to know, are they brothers mitzat ha'av? So the answer is no. They are not considered to be brothers mitzad av. A very, very strange pshara that they're brothers mitzad aim, they're not brothers mitzad av. How do you explain this phenomenon? Where in the world does this come from? So the Gemara says, very, very simple cheshbon. The Gemara says that what, if anything, would have created a kurva mitzad av? In order to declare that they're brothers mitzad av, they have to be related to the av. That means Reuven and Shimon are brothers mitzad av because Reuven has a father's name is Yaakov, and Shimon has the identical father's name is Yaakov. So here, these two brothers do not have a kurva between each other mitam ha'av because neither of them independently is related to the father. Why they're not related to the father? Because the father wasn't Jewish. The father was a guy. So we have one non-Jew is Boil, a non-Jewish woman, and she becomes pregnant from that non-Jew. Once this child converts, he has no shaykhs to the father, zero shaykhs to the father whatsoever. Even though we know genetically he's related to the father, we know biologically he's related to the father, we know practically in Olam Hazeh he's related to the father, but Apidin he's not related to the father, Bichlal. And since he's not related to the father, therefore it's not shaykh for the two brothers to be related to one another, Derech the father. How do you know he's not related to the father? The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Navi, Zira Susim Zir Mosam, that Torah Afkri the Zera Shalav, that the Torah declares that the Zera of the Yaakov is Nishkin Zera. It's not Misyach, it's nothing zero, it's no relevance in Halacha, the Zera of the Yaakov. My nafkamina, this bizarre family relationship, that their brothers been a aim and our brothers been a av. So the Gemara says, the Chapa nafkamina as follows. Let's say in 20 years later, these brothers are going to get married, and one of the brothers is going to die without any children. Is it going to be Yibum or not? So the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, Maseches Yevamis, that Yibum is only brothers min ha'av. The Gemara learns that from Pesukim, Kiyesh Rachim Yachdav, only Yichad ben Nachla, only brothers min ha'av, etc. So in order for the mitzvah Yibum to be chal, they have to be brothers related min ha'av. So the mitzvah Yibum is not going to take effect. But the Gemara says, the mitzvah Yibum is not going to take effect, and therefore, even if one of the brothers wants to be a nice guy and marry the other brother's wife, we're going to say, you can't do that, because you are brothers bin ha'aim. Because since they have halachli the same mother, they don't have halachli the same father, because the Torah af created the zara da'av. But halachli, they do have the same mother, so they're considered to be half brother, so to speak, through the mother. So now we have a huge problem because you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife, even your half brother's wife. If you marry Eshes Achiv bin Aim, that's an Issa Kores. The only thing that would be math to the Issa of Eshes Ach is only the mitzvah Yibum. But we just got finished saying that there is no mitzvah Yibum here because there's no Yichus Derech Liav. So now the mitzvah Yibum doesn't exist, but the Issa of Eshes Ach does exist because Eshes Ach bin Aim is still B'chol Tokfo. And therefore, if one of these brothers will try to be Miyabim, the other one's wife, that will be an Issa Gom and Issa Kores make Mamzeris at the worst of the worst of the worst of Gilead Arayas. Ad Kadibi Agamar Mesechus Yevam Mesef Tzadiches.
Why
So the Pashas HaDvarim is that the relationship with the father can only come about at the time of conception, because that's the only physical participation that the father has. So since at that time he was a goy, so then the game's over. So then there's no way for that yichus to reconnect. But she ain't getting the mother, she could reconnect, because kozman, it's inside the mother, either mishas leida, mishas continuing pregnancy, whatever the exact moment when a person becomes mishachas achar imai, so that is still taking place after they become Jewish. So, what you really want to ask, or maybe you shouldn't ask, but I'll ask for you, is according to the Ramban, remember back to the Sugi Muberish and his Gaira, I don't know if we mentioned this at the time, but Muberish and his Gaira, so there is a Machloikis that we show him, although the Gemara says, Benoim Tzorch Tvila, does that mean that the child is mamish Jewish with the Tvila alone of the mother? Or does that mean that the baby was Yaitse, the din of Tvila's Gairus, but if it's a boy, he still requires Bidul Hashem Gairus? So there's a Ramban in Yevamis that says that even by Muberish and his Gaira, just because the baby's born, it's not even Jewish yet. It just means it doesn't have to undergo a second Tvila, either because it was Yaitse with the Tvila of the mother, or Yaitse with its own Tvila, but a Mila Vadr has to undergo. And if and when it undergoes a Mila's Gairus, then it will declare that the baby is Jewish. Mashenke, according to other Rishayim, and others say no, that the baby was Yaitse with the Tvila of the mother, or was Yaitse with his own Tvila, whatever the case is, and now it doesn't require a Mila's Gairus. It means a Mila's Yisrael it needs, like any other Jew, but if it doesn't get a Bris Mila, it's still going to be 100% Jewish. That's the Machlokes of Rishayim. So all the Achronim jump in the Ramban and say, wait a second, according to the Ramban, that this baby is not Jewish at the time that it's born, so it's a mamish, it's a classic geshes kai kodesh nolan dummy. So when it undergoes a bris milah in 6 weeks from now, whenever it gets a bris l'shem geirus, how in the world is it going to become chozalim afreya to be related to its other brother, even derech ha'aim? So that's a huge, huge kash. That's a all the chorin bar, discuss this kash according to the Ramban. But putting aside the Ramban for a moment, the Gemara makes a split that they're related through the mother, not related to the father. So it comes a bit of time and says, why are they not related to the father? What is it about they're not related to the father? So the Gemara is a very, very phrase. It says Zirma Susim Zimbasim. Ator Afkri Lezera Daav of the Goy. So the Rabbi Tam says that you cannot take that Gemara in a vacuum. What the Gemara means is that the entire Maisebia of the Goy is not Misiachis in Halacha. When a Goy has a Maisebia, we just ignore it. It doesn't exist. It doesn't register as a Maisebia in Halacha. And since it doesn't register as a Maisebia in Halacha, therefore it doesn't register as a giving of a Zera either. So whatever came about through that Maise, Maisebi Alma, but not a halachic Maisebiya, is this battle in Halacha. So therefore, the same sugya in Yevamos Tariches that says that the Torah negates the Zera of the Goy, the Torah negates the Maisebiya of the Goy as well. The whole thing is Batel Mevutel. It's not called the Maisebiya Bechlal. And therefore, a bit of time, use that Gemara in Yevamos Tariches as a makor that's the reason why there's no Gili Arise, there's no Eishes Ish violation when the Boyal was a Goy was a Cheshverosh, and that's why the Gemara didn't bother asking the Kasha about Esther Gili Arise Abba. Now, how come nobody else bought into that? How come the Rivam, other Rishayim, never heard of such a thing? So other Rishayim would say, what does that have to do with the Gemara Yevamos Tariches? It's nothing to do with anything. The Gemara in Yevamos Tariches is talking about Legabe the Halachas of Zera, Legabe the Halachas of Yichus. So just because the Torah was Mafkiya, the Zera of the Goy, Mechatesa Torah declares that the Maisebiya is Nishke Maisebiya. Like, how did we make that jump? Where did that leap of faith come from? Just because the Zera is this battle, Mechatesa that the Maisebiya is this battle. So, other Shem disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam sticks to his guns, Rabbeinu Tam sticks his position. So, if Rabbeinu Tam would have just said this, just in the context of this sugya in Sanhedrin, Esther, for Hesiav and not Yidirayas, we would have said, okay, good, it's a Chiddush Rabbeinu Tam. Maybe he's right, maybe he's not right. Wouldn't have meant too much for us Lamaisa. But all of a sudden comes a Benetam, and he took this idea that he developed, that he was Mechadish, and he plugged it in Halacha Lemaisa, in something that's a startling case. And it wasn't just a theoretical, it was Mamash Lemaisa. It was a Maisa Shalayek HaChoya that happened in the days of Benetam. Benetam issued a very, very famous Psach based on this theory that the world was shaking. Said the Torah said he couldn't understand it. Other Rishayim said the whole thing, L'Hoyu Dvar Me'ayilam. Bin Atam Paskin the Maisa Shrek Achoya. It's a Jewish woman who was married, and unfortunately, as we know, tragically in the Middle Ages, there were crusades, there were attacks, all kind of things. And whatever it was, some Jews, some Jews were couldn't withstand the temptation, and they became goyim. They ended up getting baptized. They became mamish. They began to live as goyim. So you had this Jewish woman. She was married, and he mirrored das. She converted to another religion, and she never got a get from her husband. She converted to another religion, and then she went ahead and she. "Quote unquote married, not a pialocha." She went ahead and was living with a goy. She was living with a goy. Gefrelach, terrible. She's gewaldig, terrible. Very vayim. Then strange things started to happen. The whole sounds like a house, like a soap opera. So eventually, the Jewish husband died. The Jewish husband died, and then she's living with this goy, and somehow. Again, I wasn't there in the Middle Ages, in the 1100s, to tell you exactly how this played out. But she started to get some pangs of tshuva a little bit, and maybe this guy who she was living with wasn't as bad as we thought he was. And then all of a sudden, she starts to find her way back a little bit back to Yiddishkeit. And slowly but surely, he starts to get involved. He starts to get interested. If you talk to the Rabbanim who deal with Geirus today, they'll tell you the amount of crazy stories here in Geirus, it's mind-boggling. The stories, this one got interested. Kacha, Maestro Kachoya, the middle of Christian Europe in the 1100s, in the middle of the Crusades, in the middle of, it wasn't exactly the safest place to be a Jew. All of a sudden, she's being Chozer Espechuva. And he's coming also, and all of a sudden this non-Jew, the knight in shining armor, all of a sudden he wants to become Jewish also. And he goes ahead and he converts. He goes and he gets a valid gerus, his makabah mitzvah, and he's serious, he wants to become part of the Jewish community. It's a mudna thing. What's of course the next mudna part of the story? They want to get married. Because that's Moshe Yisrael. So they come to apply to the rabbi to get married. They come, they want to get married. He said, she wants to be from, he was already a guy, he wants to be from, and they know each other already for yet. They want to get married, because that's special as well, b'chup of kedushin. What's the shayla, Rabbi say? What's the shayla? There's a din that an ishizisha zinsa, the mezit tachas baila, is a surah labal, a surah labayal. The Gemara learns that from psukim, and Pashas Nasra Saita, nitma v'nitma, echel labal v'echel labayal. So what do you mean she's going to go marry this guy? This guy is also been up tired for him to marry her. It's a deraisa of a soita laboyel. So this question was presented to none other than to Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam was matir. Why was Rabbeinu Tam matir to get married? Based on Ishtar Torah. Rabbeinu Tam had gesagt that the iser of a soita laboyel means somebody, when I say sota, I don't just mean the case of Pasha Sota when we're not sure she was bezana. This is what's called the sota vada. We know she was bezana. That iser, the iser laboyel is bein sota vada, bein sota sofik. So that iser laboyel means when Rachel had a maisa bia with somebody who wasn't her husband, so she could never be with that man for the rest of her life. So, because Rabbeinu Tam, this woman did not have a maisa bia with anybody. She was mezana, so to speak, with a guy, but this was not called a maisebiya, because we read a Talmud wrote a right for the Agamar. From the fact that Agamar doesn't ask the kasha of Esther Gidirayisava, it only asks the kasha for Esther for Hesyavya, implying that this wasn't Gidirayis. And the reason why it wasn't Gidirayis, because it was Biasakam. And as the Gemara in Yavama said, Sadiches, Biasakam, Lashma Bia. It doesn't really say it. It says Zerakam, Lashma Zera, but it's all the same thing as Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam, Alokh Lemais, it was bad to this woman to marry this fellow. Adkan the story, at least from Rabbeinu Tam's vantage point. Many, many Rishonim disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam on this one. Tosfos quotes a lot of kasha against Rabbeinu Tam. The Chor Rabbeinu Tam is pilei ploim. Because if Rabbeinu Tam is right, that it's not called the Baisabiya, finished, and therefore the dinim of Echad Levalach Bol don't apply. So wait a second. So she's muteris to her husband also? Is that true? The same Rabbeinu Tam says she's muteris to the boyel, so too she's muteris to her husband. What would the din be? Let's say you have a regular girl, a regular she says Rachel's married to Reuven, and Rachel's bezana tachas baila with John. She's bezana with the non-Jew, so she's muteris to her husband, because that's not called the maisabia. It's a garnish. It's not the Torah hifkira says biyasa biyasakom. That's what Rabbeinu Tam sounds like he's saying. That the same way that she's muteres to the boyel, she should be muteres to the baal as well. It's a very, very startling Rabbeinu Tam, if Rabbeinu Tam says such a thing, because it sounds from a few Gemaras that that's not true. So the Meiri writes that, yeah, Rabbeinu Tam really said it. We don't understand Rabbeinu Tam, but that's what he sounds like he's saying. that let's say the story wouldn't have ended the way we depicted it. Let's say the woman would want to be chozer b'tshuva, and she doesn't want to marry this knight in shining armor. The knight in shining armor remains a knight. He runs off to continue his crusades, and she wants to go back to her original husband. So it sounds like a Rebbe Tam would say that's okay. That a woman who's mezana with a non-Jew is muteris labayla. So startling. Again, the Gemaras for sure don't sound that way, but that's what Rebbe Tam sounds like he's saying. So Tosfos attacks this very, very strong. One kasha, another kasha. So I want to focus on one of the kashas of Tosfos. One of the big kashas of Tosfos against Rebbe Tam. How you talking about Kaza? That the Torah declares that Maaseh Biyah is garnished, and therefore she's taka muteris labayla. How you talking? It's against the Pharisee Gemara Maseches Saita. What's the Gemara saying in Saita? So there's a din, this is real Saita. Parashas Naso. So the Torah describes a situation where we have a suffix whether a woman was Mezana Teches Baila. If we would know for a fact with Eidim she was Mezana Teches Baila, the game's over. You don't have to drink any water. You know for a fact that she's a nation's dishes in, so she's a Surah Baila. That's a given. The problem that arises in Parashas Naso is that we don't know whether she was Mezana Teches Baila. What do you mean you don't know? What's the latest of suffix even? A woman is a Chazoka, Chesis Kash, like Mehechatesh, she was Mezana. So that's what the Torah describes, that a few funny things happened that seemed to create a suffix in our minds. That's what's called Raglayim Ladavar. What are the funny things that happened? So first of all, Kinui took place. That means the husband said to his wife, he's a little jealous, he doesn't like she's hanging around with this other man. And he tells her, don't be in the same room. Don't seclude yourself with this man anymore. He does kinui. And he does kinitah in the presence of two eidim, because everything in sight has to be two eidim, because so he warns her in the presence of two eidim, I don't want you to be in that room anymore with that man. And then what does she do? She goes ahead and violates his words. She does it. She goes and she does stira in the presence of two eidim. Now, again, nobody was in the room. So we just have two eidim who are outside watching this act of stira taking place. So we don't really know whether she was mezana with him. We really don't know. But al zeh nema b'teira, we have a problem. We're not sure, and therefore misafek, she can never ever be with her husband anymore. Because she violated kinui, she violated stira, now we have a latest asafek, and until we can be mevar the safek, she's a surah labayla yolim void. And for that matter, even if the husband dies right then and there, she can't go to the boil either, because we have a safek that has not yet been resolved. How do you resolve the safek? So normally we know how do you resolve sfeikas in halacha. We have shei shmeitzes, we have eidim, we have eidechad, we have robes, we have chazak, so many things. So this is the very, very strange way of being mevarech sfeik. The Torah says it's almost like a supernatural way of being mevarech sfeik. If you drink the water of mei soita, you raise the Shem Hashem into the water and you bring a korban mincha, you do asla, it's called Torah Hazos, so you do the ala parsha, then the Rabban Shalom will be mevarech the sfeik for you. It's the only time in halacha where the Torah says, I'm going to step in, the Rabban Shalom says, I'm going to mevarech the sfeik. If she drinks the water and she passes the test and nothing happens to her, then it's nisbara, nisgala, that she was never real mezana. It doesn't mean she was a great tzaddik. It doesn't mean she didn't do something wrong. She did a terrible thing by not listening to her husband and being stira and violating yichud, a terrible, terrible thing. But push comes to shove, it was nisbara that she was never mezana tachas ba'ala mamish, and therefore she's muteris labayla. And if it turns out that she really was Mezana Teches Baila, she's going to explode from the Mesoit anyway, so we're not going to have to discuss the Shaila too much further. So that's what the Torah sets up for us in Parshas Nosai. That's what the Gemara said at the beginning of Maseches Soita. You would have to be an absolute moron to give kinu to your wife Bizban She'ed Beis Mikdash Kayam. Why? Because if you're going to give kinu to your wife and she's going to violate your kinui, then she's become a surah and there's no way to even violate the suffix. Because we don't have a basic mikdash. She can't bring the korban mincha. Part of the process is bringing the korban mincha and doing the b'chik zashem and the offer of mishka. We don't have any of that bisman is that. So she's going to remain be surah, the olam bot. So therefore the Gemara says, don't do that's ridiculous. Don't give your wife kinui today. It's a terrible, terrible thing to give your wife kinui today. The Gemara says, don't even give a kinui benola benola, even not in the presence of Eid. Just don't get into the habit of giving kinui. It's a bad thing, bisman is that. In the old days, you want to give kinui, you give kinui. It's machlek is atonoim. Is kinui a good thing or a bad thing? So the Gemara quotes one time that says that if you think your wife is not being so tzenuah, you should give her kinui and make her suffer through this whole ordeal. It'll get her to behave better. And the other time it says, no, it's not such a great mitzvah to do it. So that you can discuss. Yeah, mitzvah, no mitzvah. But bizman hazeh, it's crazy. You've got to be a nutcase to give kinui bizman hazeh. You're going to throw your whole marriage out the window if she violates your kinui. So back to the story. The Gemara says in Masechet Soita, let's say Reuven is suspicious that his wife Rachel is doing inappropriate things with John, with a non-Jew. So he grabs two Edim and he says to her in the presence of Edim, don't be bestira with John anymore. So the Gemara says, is that called a kinoi? Let's say she violates his kinoi and she goes stira with John in front of Edim. So is that soita or is that not soita? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's called a kinoi. You can give a kinoi even if the person who you're suspicious of is a non-Jew. So comes Tyson and says, wait, so I understand. If Rabbi Natan is right, that even if she's mezana with John, she's muteris labayla. So what kind of story is that? There's a din of kinoi. What does kinoi mean? What is the whole pasha of soita? The whole pasha of soita is, we taka don't know whether she's mezana. We're trying to figure out whether she's mezana. So kinoi and stira create a raglayam ledover letis asofik. We're going to drink the water in order to revive what the asofik is. It's all trying to figure out, was there a maisa bi or not? If Rabbeinu Tam is right, that I couldn't care less whether there was a maisa bi altogether, because anyway she's muteris labayla, because bi zakat lash rabia. So what's the Gemara drink? It's called komakana deyakum. What does that line in Soita mean? Idea komakana fila deyakum. What's fakina deyakum? Even if we'll have two edim who saw the bimazana to this, she's still muteris labayla. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. What kind of kinu is there at deyakum? A bi zakam ain't a bi. That's the bomb cash that's asked against Rabbeinu Tam. So there's a famous answer that's given, a very lomdish answer that's given by the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi in Shastru's Beis Halevi, Chaim's father. So Beis Halevi explains that the answer to this for now, the answer to Rabbeinu Tam, is based on the following. Based on a Machlekes Rishonim that appears in the context of another Gemara in Masechet Soita. The Gemara Masechet Soita says that what if a person says to his wife, I think you're not acting appropriately with this katan, with this little kid. And he's mekana her from the katan. He gives a kinui against this katan. So comes the Gemara and says, nah, that's a garnish. Kinui against the katan is a garnish. Why? Because it says, v'shachav ishay sashach v'zeh, ish v'le katan. The whole parasha soit was only given if a person's mekana from a man. Mekana from a katan is nishkadish. In fact, the beginning of Ben Tzera Meira, we made the complete circle. It's not an ish, it's a katan. So there's no kinoi against the katan. That's what the Gemara says in Masechet Soita. But the Gemara needs a pasuk for it. If not for the pasuk, so the taka would have been kinoi from a katan. So comes Taisus in Masechet Soita and says, exactly how old is this katan? Is this a 3-year-old? Is this a 12-year-old? How old is this katan exactly? So Taisus makes a simple calculation. Says, wait a second. The Gemara tells the Masechet Zidin there's halacha Moshe Mesinai that bias pachas ben tes is ishkin bia. That there's a shear, how old a young boy has to be in order that his act of bia will be called halachliya maisa bia. For that matter, there's also a din, how old does a girl have to be for bia to be called a bia from her vantage point. So Gemara tells us there are two shiurim, badavar, and there are pashas, both halacha moshe mesinai. The din is that shiurim are chatzitza b'chitza halacha moshe mesinai, the Gemara says. So this is part of the shiurim. This is like kezayis, kebeitza, dalramas, taltvachim, 312, etc. This is part of the din of shiurim, that the shear of the age of a young man, a young boy, to be called Maisabia, is 9 years old. What would that mean practically? So let's say if a 10-year-old boy is bezana with a woman, the 10-year-old boy is not going to be chayabitz because he's under bar mitzvah. So there's also a shear of Yud Gimoshana, that's a shear in order to be chayabin ancient. So you're not going to give him mises bezin, you'll give her mises bezin. So let's say if a 10-year-old boy is bezana with a 24-year-old woman, so the woman's going to be chayabitz misa because she's a basa ancient and she experienced the maisabia. If an 8-year-old boy is bezana with her, that's a gurnish, that's not a maisabia. That's a physically an alpi din, that's not considered a maisabia altogether. And the same is true for a girl, that a maisabia with someone over the age of 3 is called a maisabia. Under the age of 3 is a gurnish. It doesn't even register on the radar screen. So comes Tyson and poses a question, Masechet Soita, how old is this boy that we're this husband is giving kinoi to? What, he's under the age of 9, says Tyson. Says Tyson, that's a joke. What do I need a pasuk for that for? The pasuk says, v'shachav ish prat l'katan. If you're talking about a katan under the age of 9, I wouldn't need a pasuk for that. I can figure it out on my own. Even if he'd be mezana with her, be a garnished. If the whole pasha site is to ascertain whether he's mezana, even if we knew with our 1,000 edim that this 70-year-old was mezana or not, it was garnished kalfas. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't register because it's not called biyase biya. So obviously, when the Gemara says we need a pasuk to tell me that ain mekanan ayedekata, and that must mean he's over the age of 9. Also, that type of makes sense. He's over the age of 9. He's 12 and a half years old, this boy. So I would have thought, if we would know for a fact he was Bezana with her, she would talk about Yisrael Labayla. We don't know, so we have to come onto the Pasha of Saita. So one of the details of the Pasha of Saita is that Prat Lekotan, that if he's under the age of Mitzvah, he's not called an ish, so then somehow the Pasha of Saita doesn't kick in. But if not for the Xerxes of Kosov, that would have been subject to the Din of Saita. That's how Taisa sizes up the Gemara. So says the Beis Levi, open up the Rambam Nichas Saita. When the Rambam quotes his din, you see the Rambam didn't learn this like Taisus. The Rambam writes that Ein Mekanin Ayedei Katan, as the Pasuk says, the Rambam quotes the Drash, Ish Prat LeKatan, and therefore, Zok the Rambam, you can't be Mekanin someone under the age of 9 years old. If the little boy is 7.5 years old, there's Nishkein Kinoi. If he's 10.5 years old, then there would be Kinoi. The Rambam learned that this Gzeres HaKos of Ein Mekanin Ayedei Katan. Why not? So the Rambam learns that Ish here doesn't mean the regular standard of Ish in Kol HaTorah Kula. Ish here means the standard of how old do we declare that it's a Maisabiya. So if it's a Maisabiya, then there would be a full-fledged Kino if it's such a person. If there's not a Maisabiya, then we understand why Ein Mekanin Al Yadai. That's how the Rambam learned Pshat in the Gemara. So comes the Beis Levi and says, wait a second, I don't understand Pshat in this Rambam. Hadra Kushla Duchtam Taisus. What do you need a Pasuk for this for? The kid's 6 years old, even if he'd be mezana with her, Gornish Gelfin, that wouldn't create an Isser Isha Labayla, an Isha Shazin Labayla. So how in the world could I have a Havamina Shabahavamina that a boy under the age of 9 would have been subject to the Pasha of Kinoi? Bishlam according to Taisus, that the sugya is talking about someone over the age of 9, and I understand, since he theoretically could ask an Isha Biviyasai, I would have thought Kinoi applies. Kamash Blood, a quirk, there's a cost of Ish Pratlakot. But according to the Rambam, in Ochinami, above the age of 9, Taka, there would be a din of Kinoi for him. And the Gemara is talking about under the age of 9. So why do I need a Pasuk to exclude it under the age of 9? Anyway, there's not going to be a Maisabiyah. That's the famous Kasha on the Rambam. So we now have two Gemaras that are developing over here. We have two strange dinim. We have a Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that's very difficult, which is a Ram that's difficult. We have a Rabbeinu Tam that seems to be saying that Bias Akum is really meaningless, is really garnished. But there still is kinoi against an Akam, even though his biyasuwe and biyasabiya. And now you have a Rambam who's saying that in the world of Havamina, we could have conceived of kinoi applying to a katan, even though in biyasabiya. And in the end, there's a quirk that's exerts a cost. Don't pest me with exerts a cost. That's the Yetzir B'Klal. So how do we make sense of these two things? How are you talking these two things? How can it be that on the one hand, isn't the whole goal of Saita to be Mavara, whether there was or was not a Maisabiya? And now I'm telling you that it's conceivable there should be a Parashah of Saita, even if we knew for a fact there was a Maisabiya, we would ignore it. How can that be? How could Rabbi Natam say, Biasakam Lash Rabbiya, and yet there's a Din of Kinoi? How could the Rambam say, under the age of 9, is a Biasabiya, and still there would have been a Din of Saita, Lule, the Din of Gzeres HaKosov, Ishbal HaKosov? How do you make sense of Rabbeinu Tam this Rambam? So Beis Halevi develops a Yusoid, a very famous Yusoid, based on a Gemara also Masechet Yusoid Nachavav. The Gemara is the following discussion. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk of Parshas Noso. It says, V'shechav isha so shechvazera. So the Gemara says that what if a man says to his wife the following? He gathers together to wait, and he says to his wife, listen, I don't want you to be together with this fellow. I don't think you're mizan. I don't think you're having gilir raisman. I don't think you're having beer with him. I don't think you're that low. That you're being mamish mizanatachas. I don't think you're doing that. I don't suspect you're doing that. But what I don't want you to do is, I don't want you to even have any other physical contact with him. I don't want you to touch him. I don't want to kiss him. I don't want anything. I'm suspicious that you're doing those kinds of things. And he formulates the kinyan bezel loshen. That's what the Gemara calls derech evarim. He says that I'm not suspicious that you're being mizanat mamish. But I am suspicious that you're doing other inappropriate things, and I formulate a kinoi in such a manner, and then she goes ahead and she violates his kinoi, and she goes steer into the room with the guy. Now we have no idea what happened behind closed doors. We don't know whether they were mizana, not mizana. Did he touch it? Not that we have no idea. Could be they were doing nothing. Is that called a sight or not? So there was a kinoi, and there was a stira. But the kinoi was verbally was formulated in such a way that there wasn't even a chashad of being mamish. So the Gemara says that's a big joke. The Gemara says that's not kinoi. It's not garnished and garnished. Why? Why is it not a kinoi? Because the Torah says shechavisha sashechvazera. The Torah is describing a ma'isabia with shechvazera. The Torah is describing the real event. The Torah is not describing the hachachas. The Torah is not describing chibuk v'nishik. That's not the description of the Torah. That's not the illustration of Pashas Saita. And therefore, the Gemara says, based on that pasuk, v'shachav isha sashik v'zer prat lebal adech evarim. Any other physical contact, as bad as it is, as gefrelich, as miserable, as horrible, as fair as it is, but soit is nisht. That's the Gemara's conclusion. So you know what the Gemara asked in that kasha? Anyone saw that Gemara? I put that in Gemara in my Mekremis. I put it on. So what does the Gemara ask on that din? What's this pshita? This is poshut. Why in a million years would you have thought that's called a kinoy? If a man says to his wife, I don't want you to be in a room because I think you're Mechal Shabbos. So that's kinoy. I don't want you to be in a room because I think you're eating a cheeseburger. That's it. What does that do with kinoy? He said, kinoy is on the Aver of Losinov. Kinoy is not on Chibuk V'nishuk and other things. Well, why did the Gemara even dream that that was called kinoy? Do I need a posik to tell me in Ishtazoi? What's the Hava mean? So Gemara says, no. Ma'al detayim is like the Gemara. B'kpeh the Baal tol rachamona. And that phrase was a loaded phrase. Gemara says, I would have thought that all of kinoy ultimately depends upon the husband's kpeda. Just how serious is he? Just how much does he bother him? If you have another woman who, a married woman goes into a room with somebody, violates yichud, that doesn't ask al abayla. The only reason why it asks al abayla, the only reason why the parasha of Soita begins, because he's mark, because he was makana. Let's say he's an easygoing guy, whether he should be or not, it's a different story. He's a very laid-back guy, he doesn't get too nervous, he's not jealous, he couldn't care less what's going on, and he's not makana, huh? And she goes in and has stira with a man, so what? I mean, not so what, she did, that wasn't right, it was a violation of yichud, but that doesn't ask al abayla. So you see that the mechanism of creating Pasha Soita is not an objective statement. Is there an objective concern that she was Mizana? There is a factor here as the Torah is recognizing and giving credibility to as the Kepedis Abal. So comes the with the following Havamina. Mal Detema, I would have thought, the Kepedis Abal Tolar Rechamana, that you see that the Torah really revolves around his Kepedah, his Akpadis. So I would have thought, if he says, listen, Ich bin makbid. I don't want my wife to be touching somebody else. Forget about Bia. I don't want Chibur Nisha. I don't want her to be doing those things. Rightfully so. I would have thought, you know what? Ma'al d'teir paid a tal rachamana. Since the Torah does give such credibility to his level, his degree of concern, his degree of jealousy, his degree of kpeda, I would have thought that if he declares that he's makbid even on non-Bia, I would have thought, hey, that's tacha concern. And that's not enough to, as an engine to drive the parasha of Parasha Soita. And I would think that maybe if he gave her this very, very low-level kinoy and she violates, she takah becomes a shul debayla. It's not such a crazy havamina. Ma'al d'teva kvedet debayla tol rechamona. Kamash malon. We can breathe a sigh of relief. Kamash malon. Shech v'zerek siv. And therefore, this is garnish. This is not Soita. Rabbi say, whenever you have these kind of gemaras, what's the chakira? Name the chakira. The Gemara Havamina Kfeda Gabal Kamash Blanwa.
Maskana that Sota is not driven by
Kfeda
Gabal, or it is, but
a
particular case
is Mio Kfeda. Oh, it does. So, Yesh Lachko, says the Beis Halevi. What's the Maskana of Gemara? Is the Maskana of Gemara that it was nice, that idea of Kfeda Gabal, but that's not really the name of the game. The real name of the game is Bia. That's what really matters. Was this, no, was it not that? Kfeda Gabal is really not so important. Or, no. The Gemara is not backtracking from its Havamina. Kpeda de Baal really is something. But, yesh gvul b'dover, if a husband says that, I don't want my wife to be talking to this guy, that's not a Kpeda de Baal that the Torah recognizes. So I would have thought, well, wait a second, this is not just talking, this is already touching. So I would have thought, Kpeda de Baal, talachman, there's enough of Kpeda de Baal factor to create the Pashu Saita. Kamash Balan, this is not a sufficient degree of Kpeda de Baal. This has not reached the barometer of sufficient kvedet habaal to unleash the Pasha Saita. But it's possible that there may be other levels that can unleash Pasha Saita. Maybe other levels of kvedet habaal that are sufficient to be the engine to drive Pasha Saita, even though they may fall short, believe it or not, of what? Of a real Maisabiyah. It is not impossible to envision that kvedet habaal is a true factor. So in the Havamina, the Gemara thought Kfeda de Baal is so significant that even these very low-level violations of Derech Evarim, Chibur Kedushin, those kinds of things would be sufficient Kfeda de Baal. Kamash Balan, no. Is the Kamash Balan that throw out the Maal of Kfeda de Baal, the real Maal is Bia, or is the Kamash Balan, no? Kfeda de Baal, yes, but you haven't quite met the Kamos, the sufficient Kfeda de Baal. My Nafkamina is Achtabay Slevi, big Nafkamina. What if you up the ante a little bit? This is not Chibur Venishuk. This is a physical, biological Maisebiya. The only thing is, the Mizana is a goy. This is a physical Maisebiya. The only thing is, the kid's under the age of 9. So the halacha Mashtiri says, oh, this doesn't register as halachic Maisebiya. Says the Beis Levi, what would the din be when the husband expresses a kinoy in situations where it's much, much worse than kinula derech evarim? It is shech vazera. It is Maisebiya. If you'd ask the biologist, of course it's the Maisebiya. It's just that in the realm of the Beis Medrash, in the world of Lomdash, the world of Torah and Halacha, this falls short. Why? Because he's a goy. And the Gemara in the Yavavah study Ches was Bafkir the Shembir. Or because he's under the age of 9 years old, the Halacha Moshesina State is Dishkin Maisebir. When you have those kinds of physical Maisebirs that are not Halachic Maisebirs, if you're going with the understanding that Soita requires a Maisebir and short of a Maisebir, the Kamash Blan is Maisebir, so the Maisebir is Maisebir. It's not a Maisebir in Halacha, it's Nishkin Soita. But if you tell me the Kamash Blan is, no, Kpeda Sabal is still important. Kpeda Sabal still plays a role. If that's the engine that's driving Soita, it's just that the Kpeda of Derche Varem falls short. But who says that the Kpeda of Bias Acham falls short? Who says the Kpeda of Bias Kodin falls short? Those Kpedas may be legitimate, bona fide Kpedas that the Torah is Misyachis to and actually creates a Parsha Soita for. So says the Beis Halevi, he thinks that the Rambam was learning that way, and he thinks Rabbi Tam was learning that way as well. So Baruch Hashem, we can have a situation of, we can save the Rambam and Rabbi Tam, that you can have a situation where Halachli is not called the Beis Sabiya, and it still would have been Nita to Pasha Soita. Now, Katan falls short because it's Exer Sekos, Ishpat LeKat, okay, I can't do anything for you. But Rabbi Tam is still Shovakayim, that if we know for a fact the Goy is Mezada with a woman, it could be it's not going to create an Isla Bala. It's very possible, Biasakam Ashwabiya, does a great Nislabal, does a great Nislabal. That's the sugi of Esther for Hesia, not Gilirayas.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Two questions. First of all, would it be, would another Nafkamina potentially be a Shalokadaka? Is that also, because I'm not really.
Yeah, but the Gemara talks about that. But the Gemara in the end says that Hukshu be a Shalokadaka is the same as be a Kadaka.
And then also, according to the Ramban about like Chibut Venetian being Chatzi Shirav Bia, would that play a role in this at all? In the
No, you want to know, is this Gemara a Raya for the Rambam?
Because
the Gemara in the Havamina that maybe compared the Baal Tal Rachamana. So right. The only problem is the line before that, the Gemara asks, Chipri Tzusas Rachamana, which seems to be like the Ramban, so the Ramban would have to explain, that means, it doesn't mean it's not awesome in a Torah, it means it doesn't create an Issa Labai in a Torah. Hopefully the next sugya we're going to talk about that, so when we get to the next sugya in Ayin Hey, so hopefully we'll talk about that, Bachalik's Ramban and the Ramban. That'll be the last sugya later in the week. So at the end of the day, we've salvaged Rabbeinu Tam, but still, it's such an unbelievable Chiddush. It's really a tremendous Chiddush that most of the Rishonim really don't buy into. But hopefully, Mitzvah Shem will pick this up after, and just a couple minutes earlier today. But hopefully, Mitzvah Shem tomorrow will pick up that even though many of the Shem did not buy into Rabbeinu Tam's model of Bias Akom Lashma Bia, believe it or not, for strange reasons, other interesting halachic reasons, other Rishonim subscribed to Rabbeinu Tam's din. They accepted Rabbeinu Tam's din. Rabbeinu Tam may be right, as there is a rush right for Labi Tameh. The reason Rabbeinu Tam was really Mechudish, and probably most of the Shem didn't buy into. But Rabbeinu Tam's conclusion may have been correct lemaisa for other reasons as well. So hopefully Hashem tomorrow will pick up with the other possible reasons why Rabbeinu Tam's wild scenario with the woman with the Crusaders, the whole Chad Gadya, may have been mutter anyway. And then hopefully we'll have to see if we don't accept Rabbeinu Tam's reason in our Gemara, and we're not sure about the Rivam's reason, right? The Ram didn't buy into the Rivam Reb Chaim from last week. So then we're still searching for other reasons in our Gemara, other ways of reading our Gemara. What happened to Gilead Arias? Why does the Gemara only jump on for Hesia? What was missing in the picture? What happened to Gilead Arias? Let's jump tomorrow. We'll try to finish up this again. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Bainler Yvonne, Bainler Tam. If there's no Gilead Arias here, if there's no Israel.